From the studios at Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. It's not every day that you can take a journey to Devil's Hole, Nevada, the Great Barrier Reef, the Mississippi Delta, the Chicago River, and Southern Iceland with a Pulitzer Prize-winning author. However, that's exactly what Elizabeth Colbert does with her new book, Under a White Sky, The Nature of the Future. Our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, chatted with Colbert just before her appearance at the Sun Valley Writers Conference. Let's take a listen.
I must tell you that most environmental reporting leaves me frustrated, angry, usually both, but in your book, primarily because of its sense of place and then introducing us to some rather extraordinary people, my primary reaction was curiosity and an increasing desire to talk to more people about what you introduce us to.
Well, I'm really gratified to hear about your response. I think that in general, you know, I was trying to avoid some of the pitfalls that environmental journalism tends to fall into precisely because the issues are so big and so overwhelming. So I tried to tell some stories that were, I hope, just really interesting on their own, that raise a lot of interesting questions, hard questions. I think they are very difficult questions. And the book doesn't pretend really to answer those questions, but I hope it does get people thinking and asking more questions.
For our listeners, could you, at least in layperson's terms, tell them about what this jaw-dropping proposal of white sky is?
Yeah, well, what it would be referred to in the scientific literature, I guess, would be solar geoengineering, or it's sometimes called solar radiation management. And here the idea is, you know, when you get a major volcanic eruption, you get a temporary global cooling because a lot of reflective material is sort of spewed into the stratosphere. So people have had the idea really for quite a long time that we could try to mimic volcanoes and in that way try to counteract, you know, some at least of the warming that we are also producing by spewing carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. So this is a very, very, very controversial notion. It is really just a notion at this point, but it's already generated, you know, fierce opposition, and it has many potential, you know, side effects. And one of them would be to actually change the color of the sky. We'd be putting up this reflective material in the stratosphere, and that would be reflecting sunlight back to space, and that would actually sort of change the hue of the sky. So that's where the title of the book comes from.
And one of those proposals is to drop, what would be dropped by huge planes?
Well, that's sort of up for grabs, to be honest. What volcanoes do is they spew out a lot of sulfur dioxide, and that forms these little sticky droplets, basically, that are very reflective. And that's why you get these beautiful sunsets after a major eruption, and you get, as I said, this temporary global cooling. But there are other potential, people are talking about calcium carbonate, which is basically limestone, ground up limestone. One of the scientists I spoke to, you know, says, well, maybe tiny little ground up diamonds are something that we should be thinking about. Anything that would be very reflective and would remain aloft for a certain amount of time, you know, could be considered. But these are research questions that, you know, as I say, some people say we should be pursuing and some people say we shouldn't even be pursuing.
Has that conversation or proposal advanced?
Well, I would not say it's advanced very far. I think there is increasing sort of conversation about it in certain academic and maybe even diplomatic circles. Mm-hmm. But in terms of actual on the ground or in the air, I should say, experimentation, the first sort of tiny little experiment was actually supposed to take place last summer in Sweden, but there was so much opposition to it on the ground that it did not take place, and it's not going to take place this summer as far as I know either. So it's a little bit in limbo right now.
With your permission, I am going to ask you to read a passage from your book from one of the many pages that I've dog-eared. Let's see, page 97, about halfway down. Could I ask you to read beginning with the words, if feeble man can do so much. Could you read some for us?
Sure. So we're beginning, you know, sort of with a quote from Charles Darwin. a feeble man can do so much by his powers of artificial selection, there was, Darwin speculated, no limit to the amount of change that could be affected by, quote, nature's power of selection. A century and a half after On the Origin of Species, Darwin's argument by analogy is still compelling, though every year it gets harder to keep the term straight. Feeble man is changing the climate, and this is exerting strong selective pressure. So are myriad other forms of global change, deforestation, habitat fragmentation, introduced predators, introduced pathogens, light pollution, air pollution, water pollution, herbicides, insecticides, and rodenticides. What do you call natural selection after the end of nature?
Wow. And well, none of our options are none of them are natural. They're anything but. And your book is about people, in your words, people trying to solve problems created by people trying to solve problems. Wow.
Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
I can't let you go before we talk for just a moment about the recent Supreme Court ruling that hamstrings the EPA and efforts to curb carbon emissions. I found an article of yours you wrote for The New Yorker. It was in January, and this is rather stunning. You wrote then that in this particular Supreme Court case of West Virginia v. EPA, one of the briefs filed with the court was from, and I'm still reeling over this, John Eastman. And for anyone paying any attention to the January 6th hearings, Eastman was one of the architects of the plot to get Vice President Mike Pence to overturn the 2020 election. Wow.
Yeah, it's extremely disturbing. And I think, you know, people who have looked at the connections, you know, between some of these groups that are financing attacks on, you know, various regulations and also forwarding a lot of, you know, the legal theories that the present Supreme Court has sort of taken up. You know, when you look at the all of the financing connections, and in this case, you know, very, very suggestive, mm-hmm. you know, personal connection, it raises some pretty troubling questions about really who's in charge here.
Can I assume that you were not surprised by the ruling?
I was not surprised by the ruling, no. I mean, anyone who, you know, has any, I mean, I'm not a lawyer and I'm not a Supreme Court watcher particularly, but I think anyone who has watched the court and heard their arguments, especially when they struck down the Biden administration's mandates on COVID vaccines for certain large employers, they invoked certain ideas, certain legal theories that really make it difficult for federal regulatory agencies to protect the public health. And I think that's very, I think, you know, a lot of that has been subsumed under a lot of the attention being paid to the Dobbs case and overturning Roe v. Wade, but the court cases, and there will be more to come, that have really increasingly constrained agencies from protecting the environment and public health, I think will have just as serious ramifications, unfortunately.
Can I ask where your journalism is taking you next?
Well, I kind of wish I knew. Okay. I'm hoping some more interesting spots.
Well, that said, the winds of change are growing more intense. So it could
yes,
be in any direction.
Never. Yeah, there's certainly no shortage of news on the climate change front, sadly.
Have you had the opportunity to visit Sun Valley or Idaho before?
I have been to Idaho before, but I have never been to Sun Valley.
Sun Valley.
I'm looking forward to it.
Is about as perfect a place on, well, let's say in North America, as you will find in mid-July. And the Sun Valley Writers Conference gets underway this Saturday. It continues through Monday, July 18th. Elizabeth Colbert's new book is a must-read, Under a White Sky. And for now, Elizabeth Colbert, travel safe. And thank you so very much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And that was Pulitzer Prize winning author Elizabeth Colbert speaking with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice.